Okay. So we had finished our podcast recording and we were just having a pleasant Sunday morning natter, and then the news broke. Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, and Pierre Gasly have all been disqualified from the Chinese Grand Prix, which obviously meant we had to set up all of our recording equipment again and get back on mic because now a bunch of stuff that we had said in the podcast is no longer accurate.
Yes, we're here to reheat our nachos and change all of our opinions on our outlook for this weekend. So that's fun. So yes, the breaking news, all the tifosi are on the floor right now. And I guess some French fans somewhere. I guess. I don't know. Who
The
cares?
good news is Alpine didn't have any points and still have no points. So
Yes, it hasn't hurt them as much as it's hurt the team in red. But they've all been disqualified because it stemmed from breaches in the Formula One technical regulations during their post-race inspections. So let's see what happened and what went down for those unlucky scamps. So for Leclerc and Gasly, they went for the fun quirk of underweight cars. They were found to be below the minimum weight limit. So Formula One has strict rules about the minimum weight for their cars. And after the race, the officials did their official weigh-in. It's like Slimming World. And if they're too light, it's a violation. So it's a serious issue, as a lighter car can have a performance advantage. Not in the case of Alpine, must be said, but never mind. And Lewis went, because Lewis is a bit different, isn't he? He's stylish and funky. He went for a skid block violation. So Lewis's car was disqualified due to a violation of the skid block regulations. Reem, what's a skid block?
I have no idea.
The skid block is a plank underneath the car, and it must meet certain thickness requirements.
Oh, she's
We
thick.
all meet those. Sorry.
I was chowing down at Oreos at fucking 7 a.m.
Hey, no, I was eating broccoli. Shut up. If the skid block is worn down during a race too much, it indicates that the car might have been running too low to the ground, which may also provide a performance advantage.
Dun
So,
dun dun!
oh, thank you very much. So, in summary, all three drivers were disqualified because their cars did not meet the required technical specifications set by the FIA, and these rules are in place to ensure fair competition. Now, we understand the whys. Now, let's see the what. So, that has then pushed Williams up to P4 in the constructors' standings.
Which, let's face it, no one saw coming.
Nope.
No. And on top of that, the cheeky Spaniard that has won Reem's heart for reasons we don't really understand, based on a performance that wasn't that great, that
Based on
seems to
physical
have really.
appearance, thank you.
Oh.
What, Botox face?
He has managed to secure his first point with Williams. As a
Point
result, yeah,
one.
point. One
Point.
point. He had one point to prove, and he's proved that point and got that point.
And he
We got
only
that
got
point.
it because Ferrari was disqualified.
Yes, the guy
Well,
stole
his
the
old
seat.
team have given him his point. How
So
kind.
it's a fair trade. You know, Lewis stole his seat, so he's going to steal Ferrari's place in the constructors. I think that's a fair trade. But big drama for Ferrari, because they were walking away from China with 35 points, and now they're walking away with 17. Not great, is it? That's really
Ferrari
not
fans are
great.
going through it.
Yeah. So,
Once again, Lewis, welcome to Ferrari. We've been
yeah.
new.
It's getting the full experience.
The points are not looking good. Both Leclerc and Lewis have dropped down in the Drivers' Championship from sixth and seventh down to ninth and tenth with single-digit points. So just to clarify, to see how disastrous this is for people that maybe don't realize how crazy this result is, it means that somehow Lance Stroll is ahead of the Ferraris in the drivers' standings. Oh my God, I did it again. Why do I keep saying standings when I get excited? I'm sticking with it. Lance Stroll and Ocon are ahead of the Ferraris in the drivers' standings. That's
Said
crazy.
it again.
Yeah, I'm just sticking with it. I don't care.
The Nepo baby is ahead of a championship winner.
Yep.
That's so crazy.
Seven time, please. Please put some
Seven
respect on his
time
name.
championship winner.
That's my disqualified champion.
Yeah, not good.
Ferrari will come out as that was the plan all along. That was Ferrari's plan. We're still tricking you. We're still tricking you to think that
We
we don't
still
know what
want you
we're
to
doing.
think we don't know.
Well, I've just checked their Instagram to see if they've come out with, you know, quite a sorry looking statement. They haven't. Their last post was them with a, it says, "Round two done," with a tick. I'm like, no. Someone in the social media
But
team needs to stop napping.
put yourself in the PR and social media team's shoes of Ferrari. And imagine how stressed they are right now. They're scrambling in front of their laptops. They're like, what sort of graphic can we create to make sure that we still have the fans on our side? How do we make sure that we come up with a statement that could show how sorry we are, but also how frustrated we are at the FIA? I think we need to give them a break.
So you're just saying that because we posted a graphic and you felt stress in your chest. You felt that way too close to home.
Was that another one of your weird analogies that just hits too close?
Yeah, I mean, after Australia, it was like they came to China and it was like, it wasn't a bad weekend, but it like wasn't awful. And now they're leaving for a second weekend in a row with not as many points as they should have scored. Mm-mm. And even with this, they got it and then they got snatched away again. Carlos Sainz looks like, you know, he's soaring much higher than they are. I mean, Stroll and Ocon, they're suddenly envying Stroll and Ocon. What's going on here?
It was not on my 2025 F1 bingo card.
No, and this leaves them. I mean, they've got, how many points is it difference? They've got 61 points in difference to McLaren.
Oh my God.
After two rounds, 61 point difference is
Which
massive.
Which is crazy considering they were
I lied, I can't do math. Can I do maths? 17 minus 78.
Do you want to search?
I think I've got it right.
17?
61. They're 61 points. Is that what I said before?
I think it is.
McLaren are on 78 points and Ferrari are on 17, which means that there's a 61 point deficit between fifth place and first after two rounds, which is mental.
Ferrari came out with a statement.
Ooh.
Do you want to read it out?
Yeah. No, let's leave it mystery, obviously. Come on.
They said, following the FIA post-race scrutineering, both our cars were found not to conform to the regulations for different reasons. Car 16 was found to be underweight by 1 kg and car 44's rearward skid wear was found to be 0.5 mm below the limit. Charles was on a one-stop strategy today and this meant his tyre wear was very high, causing the car to be underweight. With regard to Lewis's skid wear, we misjudged the consumption by a small margin. There was no intention to gain any advantage. We will learn from what happened today and make sure we don't make the same mistakes again. Clearly, it's not the way we wanted to end our Chinese GP weekend, neither for ourselves nor for our fans whose support for us is unwavering. And you know what? They did come up with the graphic.
Is the graphic cute?
No, it's actually quite mid.
Oh.
Well, that's a good statement. I think that's essentially saying, yeah, okay, we put our hands up. That was our bad.
Well, they can't
Sorry.
Come out swinging and say, like, down with F1. What do you think? Like, they've got to just lie down and take it. But it's not a good look, is it? For the hype that came in, it's not good.
When you look at that points deficit, like, considering in the last race of the season, they were battling with McLaren for P1 in the Constructors' Championship to now being 61 points behind them after two races.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Mm. Yeah, that's a points deficit I really was not expecting because Ferrari haven't been that out of touch in terms of pace. We've seen flashes of greatness from Lewis and flashes of greatness from Leclerc, but that has made a massive dent in their constructors' hopes because they are looking lame right now.
Yeah.
They need a long nap and a good look at themselves and a big chat and maybe some pizza or something. But whatever they need a fast car. And for God's sake, just be more on it, for God's sake, Ferrari. You're better than this. I hope, I think, I pray.
We did say potential redemption era for this race, but I think the redemption era might be in Japan. We'll see. Or maybe they
their
might
redemption
just not have...
started and ended with the sprint.
Yeah.
This is frustrating as well, just for the sport. It's frustrating for the season. I don't want to see McLaren charging off into the distance. I want there to be a tight fight and I want there to be a title championship battle that goes along for all these races, but I can't be doing it with a 61 point lead. What's going on here? That's just too big. So we're going to see McLaren still on top, Mercedes in the mix, Red Bull, well, Max trying to get points,
Leo.
And Ferrari floundering. I mean, that's a big, big, big switch up. That tells you how quick everything can change, man. That's crazy.
Now, we can't end the episode without touching on the sad news of the loss of a real F1 legend. Yeah. It was announced on Thursday that the charismatic former F1 team owner and pundit has died aged 76. It is, of course, the great Eddie Jordan. He had an aggressive prostate cancer and sadly passed away on the 20th of March ahead of the Chinese Grand Prix.
Yeah, I grew up in the first few years of me watching Formula One, listening to Eddie Jordan's commentary on Channel 4. So his opinions and his personality is aligned hugely with my love of the sport. So I've written up something for him for fans that don't know about Eddie's legacy in the sport. There's a brilliant film you can watch called Driving Ambition, which shows him at the helm of his independent Jordan team as he goes through the 1998 season. It's well worth a watch. And I guarantee you that by the end of it, you will have a right soft spot for him, because what a character.
It really shows his energy.
Yeah, 100%.
And how much he loved the sport, but also like how fun he made it as well.
Yeah, there's no one like Eddie, so he'll be sorely missed. Today, remembering a man who didn't just participate in the sport, he infused it with his infectious energy, his entrepreneurial spirit, and a whole lot of rock and roll. We're talking about the one and only Eddie Jordan. Formula One, as we know, is a unique combination of high-octane action, cutting-edge technology, and strategic brilliance. But if you strip away all that machinery, you're left with the heart and soul of the sport, which is the people. There'll always be legends in Formula One, and Eddie Jordan, he was a legend in his own right. It all started in Dublin in 1948. A young Eddie Jordan, even in his school days, had an entrepreneurial spark. He was already turning a profit by selling fruit to his classmates. That eye for deals and numbers would later define his F1 journey. His passion for racing ignited in the summer of 1970 as he drove headfirst into the lower single-seater formulas in Ireland, where he came from. To fund his dreams, he even sold carpet offcuts to be able to stay competing. In 1980, at the age of 32, Eddie took a massive leap, founding Eddie Jordan Racing. This wasn't just a team, it was a testament to his own ambition. He managed drivers like Martin Brundle, Eddie Irvine, and Rubens Barrichello, all while building his own path into Formula One. It was a calculated risk and a gamble on his own vision. And then came 1991, with Jordan's Formula One debut. That iconic green 7-Up sponsored car hit the track, and the world took notice. Eddie's Young Driver program saw the rise of some brilliant talent into the sport, with Eddie giving a young Michael Schumacher an F1 debut with Jordan, only for one race before Benetton snapped him up. As Ron Dennis famously quipped to Eddie at the time, "Welcome to the Piranha Club." A testament to the cutthroat environment of the Formula One paddock. The Jordan team managed to secure fifth in the Constructors' Championship that year, a remarkable achievement for a new and independent team. But Eddie didn't just want to compete, he wanted to entertain. His team was a breath of fresh air, a rock and roll circus in the paddock, bright yellow paint jobs, team mascots, and a garage filled with celebrities regularly. Eddie's marketing genius was as sharp as his racing acumen. In 1998, Jordan received its first Grand Prix victory with Damon Hill at the Belgian Grand Prix. Things got even better for the independent team in 1999, when Jordan finished third in the Constructors' Championship, their highest ever position. But the financial pressures of F1 are relentless. As costs soared, Eddie made the difficult decision to sell his team, but his legacy still lived on. That team and the foundation he built is now racing as Aston Martin today. In 2009, Eddie returned to the paddock, not as a team owner, but as a beloved pundit and broadcaster for the BBC and then the Channel 4. His insights, his humour, and his passion for the sport really shone through. And then there's his contributions off track that Eddie achieved. He received an OBE for his charity work and services to motorsport. Eddie Jordan proved that an underdog with heart and charisma can win over the toughest crowds. He was a true independent, a larger-than-life personality, and a man deeply respected and loved by the F1 community. His legacy, his spirit, his unique brand of rock and roll will forever echo in the halls of Formula One, and he will be sorely missed by all of us around the world.
Very beautifully written.
All right. It's Reem's favourite part of the episode.
Da, da, da. Ew. Ew, I hated that.
So did we.
Did you ever watch Phineas and Ferb?
Yes.
The platypus!
Do you remember the episode where I think the dad was listening to like some sort of audiobook on history and fossils and stuff? At the end of the episode he went, "Fossils! Da, da, da." That was the exact sound that you made, and it just sprung into my mind.
That was the weirdest the weirdest memory from the inner recesses and corners of your mind, and it took you so long to get there, and neither of us have known what you're on about.
I'm happy I unlocked that for you.
Might start binge watching Phineas and Ferb.
Such a good joke, honestly.
Okay, right, it's time for Reem's recap. For those of you who have not heard this before, good luck. It's an exciting time where I throw and Nav throws things at Reem that have happened throughout the weekend, and she has to recap it in her own words, not even factual, just for our own entertainment to see if she's absorbed any information and if any of that information is even correct. It normally doesn't go brilliantly, and it's normally hugely biased against Liam Lawson.
And I was correct, and I will continue to be correct.
Right. Okay, then. Okay, let's do it.
All right. Sprint.
Oh, very exciting. Don't really see the point. Glad Hamilton won.
I don't see the point.